Thank you. Okay, item number three, consideration of requests for rescission of orders R3-2006-1040 and 1046. Pardon me? Okay.
That's part of the board meeting agenda. But basically, the only thing you can do is today is just do a hearing from the remaining cease and desist orders.
Can the panel have a recommendation?
They could, but that wasn't what was scheduled for a hearing.
Okay.
And the panel is entitled to hold the hearings.
We've got an update on the agenda.
But that was the agenda for a meeting. But we can't have the meeting today because you don't have a quorum. There was the anticipation that there would be a quorum.
Okay.
And the meeting, the board members would actually be able to consider that.
Okay.
So at this point,
we just go right to number four.
Go right to number four.
Okay. All right, Mr. Thomas, you want to introduce? Yeah.
I didn't bring down. I'm 1040. I'm the first issue. Okay, but my name is right here.
I know. You haven't got that right.
Yeah, he said he's going to do 1040, right?
Right.
Helen Lodge.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I think they were trying to see what was going to happen. They were having a panel.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and so the panel.
Let's go back on the record, and I'm going to explain how we're going to be proceeding today. Today's hearing is a continuation of what we had began and almost completed in December. We had not finished with, I think, maybe four or five individual properties. Some people had asked for continuance. Others had requested to come on day two, and then they were not able to show up on day two. They hadn't contacted us, and we had decided to take all of those people that were not able to get in on that second day, I think December 15th, and allow them to come in today. That's really what this panel hearing is about today. We are not going to have any discussion of item number three on the agenda, and that was a consideration of request for rescission of a couple of orders. And the reason is that we don't have a full panel of the board today. We need to have five board members to take any action to instate a cease and desist order or to rescind one. What we have today is a subpanel. There's three of us here that are going to hear evidence on the remaining four or so cease and desist order matters. And the board, the panel that's here, is going to vote on a recommendation to be made to the full board at our next board meeting. We have already had public comment on all of these proposed cease and desist orders. That took place December 14th and 15th. There will be no further public comment on the individual cease and desist orders today that the board is going to hear. Public forum, item number five, will be a our normal public forum where people can address the board on any item not on the agenda. So I have a card here that says I turned in testimony cards for items 3 and 4, when to comment on that. There is no time to comment on those individual items unless you've been called as a witness by one of those individual cease and desist order recipients, because that time period for commenting has already taken place. Okay, so we're going to begin with item number 4. Okay, what? Let me explain this. There's, with respect to cease and desist orders, okay, there has to be a minimum of 5 votes by the board, okay, to take any type of action, whether to instate it or to rescind it. Oh, well, and there's, in fact, there's 2 of them that aren't here, and that's Dr. Press and Mr. Jeffries. So obviously they're not here. They're going to have to watch the DVD or the videotape and look at the written material and a transcript, however they want to do it, but they have to review everything. And then what will happen is our vote today, or the motion that will be made, will either be to it'll be for some type of recommendation, and it's not going to be to do anything specifically with the proposed cease and desist orders. That really doesn't happen until the next board meeting. And the reason for doing this procedure like this was to make it easier for the board to take in the evidence. So three of us can sit here and take in the evidence and make a recommendation, a minimum of 3. They have to, and Mr. Richards is going to ask them whether they've actually done that. Otherwise, they can't participate in the vote. Okay.
Young, what would you have done if you had not had AGP to televise this through the donations of the community?
Yes.
What would they watch
first? We have our own reporter and transcript. They can watch. They don't have to watch. They can read the transcript. And that's typically what's done. We pay for a reporter to be here. The video is a very nice and convenient way to get this out to the community. But it's not required.
It is not required, but 2 meetings ago, one of your members on the board said that he preferred to watch rather than read or listen. He preferred to watch, and that was Mr. The gentleman from Salinas,
Jeffries.
Mr. Jeffries.
Well, of course it would be easier to watch something than to have to read it. Okay, let's continue. Okay, this is the time and place for a hearing on proposed cease and desist orders against individual dischargers in Los Osos Baywood Prohibition Zone. I am Jeffrey Young, Chairman of the Regional Board. The individual panel members have already been introduced to you. And the same with the prosecution team members. Designated parties, and today that would just be those individuals who have had cease and desist orders issued to them, should not submit speaker cards for the public forum. They're being proposed, yeah. As they will be called to speak in alphabetical order during their individual proceedings. Representatives of governmental agencies and interested persons should submit speaker cards.
I think
actually that has already taken place also. Okay, the order of presentation will be as follows. Presentation of evidence by the prosecution team, cross-examination of prosecution team by designated parties, presentation of evidence. Now we would, how about the CSD, we also don't have.
CSD has the opportunity to speak if it's not here.
Yeah, but did we have that in the individual hands that we got into? I don't think we have that.
I don't think we have that. They made that presentation.
Right.
They said that they would not be closing for each one. The CSD said
that's right, yeah. Okay. Folks, we just have some changes that are made to our standard procedure, and that's what I'm trying to figure out here. Individual proceedings is what this is. And then after the cross-examination of prosecution team by designated parties, we would have closing arguments. And then board deliberation and decision, and of course that decision is simply a recommendation. Okay, board members and staff counsel may ask questions to clarify testimony of a witness at any time. I will now administer the oath. If you intend to speak or provide testimony on any of these matters today, please stand, raise your right hand, and repeat. Mr. Moylan? And is your wife here? Okay. All right. I swear that the testimony I'm about to give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth under a penalty of perjury. Thank you. The hearing notices notify the parties that they must submit any written comments, a list of witnesses, and any exhibits to the Assistant Executive Officer by November 15, 2006. The Water Board received copies of all materials submitted by the deadline. Okay, why don't we begin then? Mr. Sato.
Thank you. My name is Harvey Packard, and Matt Thompson has our presentation. Actually, do you want to introduce which hearing we're doing?
Well, it doesn't matter to me. I know that we're going to let Mr. Moylan and Mrs. DeWitt Moylan go last.
Okay. So we have heard from two of the four parties who have expressed a desire to settle. So we have asked that they not have a hearing today.
And who are those parties?
Matt Thompson with the prosecution team. Those two parties that wish to settle are Tim and Melissa Rockte. That was proposed CDO order number 1015. And John and Phyllis Mortara. That was CDO order number 1016. So the two designated parties that we are proposing CDO hearings for are the Wilkersons, and that's Charles and Norma Wilkerson. That's order number 1008. And the last one would be order number 1041, Bill Moylan and Beverly DeWitt Moylan.
Okay. Have you heard from the Wilkersons?
We have received written correspondence from the Wilkersons, but we have sent them the settlement agreement, but we have not heard back from them.
Okay. Are they here today?
Yes.
Okay. Good. All right. Fine. As far as the two parties that wish to settle, have they signed the settlement agreement?
Those parties just informed us of their willingness to settle late last week. We have not prepared site-specific settlement agreements for them to sign yet. We anticipate sending that to them this week to finalize that agreement.
Okay.
Consistent with the procedure we did for the December hearings.
Okay. All right. Why don't we then proceed with Mr. and Mrs. Wilkerson? Sir, come up to a microphone.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Ellen Martin, Los Osos resident, the recipient of a CDO, and I heard the public stand up that is going to be submitting any evidence, take an oath of office, but I did not see everybody in this room take an oath of office if they're going to make any statements or testify in any way, shape, or form, or submit any testimony that's going to be into the record. Could I please ask the chair to ask those people in the room that did not take that oath of office, including the members of the board, that they do?
Well, the members of the board don't testify. They don't provide evidence.
Well, they submit a lot of comments, Mr. Chairman. I've been at these meetings several times that I've seen that, and I think it would only be proper and just and above board and show the community that these gentlemen are telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Okay, Mr. Martin, thank you for your comments. Please sit down.
Thank you.
M-A-R-T-Y-N. Allen. Yes.
This has
Are you representing somebody today?
Yes, I'm asking a question on behalf of one of
And who is that person?
Larry Kleger.
Who?
Larry Kleger. He's one of the CDO recipients that has not been notified when a hearing is scheduled, but would like to have a hearing. And
this individual is not one of the 45, is that correct?
He is one of the 45.
It was adopted.
No,
he
not one of the four today. Okay.
Not one of the two today, or the four today.
Yeah.
Correct. I just wanted to clarify that he is. That doesn't mean you made a statement that all of the rest would be today, and he wanted to make sure that he wasn't going to be precluded from a hearing.
John, why don't you address that? I think there's a few that did he want to have his rescinded? Did he have one issued?
Yes, he did.
And he wanted to have it rescinded?
Correct.
Okay.
And there was a list of several that did, and I wasn't sure what the status of that is, since you're not ruling on that.
The status, there are several people who did not appear at their hearing in December.
For various reasons.
For various reasons. And their hearings were conducted, the hearings on their orders were conducted in their absence by the board, because that was the time and the place for them to be present to address the board. All of those people received cease and desist orders from the board at that time. Some of those people have asked that the board reconsider the issuance of those cease and desist orders and rescind them for various reasons. Since this is a panel hearing of the board convened solely to take testimony in the remaining cases that are still pending before the board. In other words, the four proceedings that were continued from the hearing. This panel is only entitled to hear the testimony in those four cases. It is, since this is not a meeting of the board, since there is no quorum of the board here, this panel cannot consider requests for rescission or reconsideration of the orders that have been existed, that have been issued. That item will have to be deferred until the next scheduled meeting of the board, at which there is a quorum that would be capable of considering those matters.
And that's, I just wanted to make sure that that will be carried to the next to the next meeting.
It so is my understanding that this item three
yeah.
on the agenda for the board meeting today, which cannot be conducted because of the a lack of a quorum, will be carried over to the agenda for the next board meeting.
Okay, thank you very much.
Would it be the next meeting or the one following? The next meeting's in Salinas.
It could certainly be any subsequent meeting of the board.
I just didn't want folks to think they had to go to Salinas necessarily.
Okay. All right. Mr. Packard.
Mr. Thompson will make our presentation.
Okay. And let's go over our timing. What did we have before? Is it 15 minutes? 15 minutes.
And who are we hearing? What's Wilkerson?
He's going to tell us. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, Chairman and board members. Again, Matt Thompson with the prosecution team. Charles and Norma Wilkerson live at 1273 12th Street in the location shown here with a little flag. They live within the prohibition zone, and they do occupy the property, and they have submitted written correspondence with several indications that they do own and operate a septic system. And based on the evidence in the record and our best professional judgment, we know that a discharge is occurring in violation of the prohibition, and at least a portion of that discharge reaches groundwater. We therefore recommend adoption of cease and desist order number R3-2006-1008. And before I finish, I want to clarify something in the cease and desist order. In the interim compliance requirement, there is a date that is now outdated and needs to be corrected. It requires the discharger to provide documentation of their septic system pumping by February 1st, 2007. But our intent was to give them 3 months from the date of the order. And so we proposed to change February 1st, 2007 to within 3 months after the date of this order. That is all. Thank you.
Mr. Packard?
That's all.
Okay. Mr. and Mrs. Wilkerson, you can cross-examine, ask any questions of the prosecution team members.
I could press it every time I talk? Okay. My name is Shauna Sullivan. I'm an attorney. I'm here on behalf of the Wilkersons. I wanted to address, before your clock starts ticking, a few procedural matters. The first one is, in the notice of this hearing that was posted on a corrected notice on the 16th, there is a list of documents that have been admitted into evidence. There's a number of documents that are missing that have already been admitted, but they're not reflected in your notice. So I wanted to go over those to make sure that you do realize those are admitted into evidence, and to address the other documents that are not reflected in the notice as being admitted into evidence.
Have you talked to Mr. Sato about this?
No, I haven't. So what I'd like to do, since we're incorporating by reference and that has been what designated party has been asked to do, I would like to make sure we have a record that we're all in agreement on.
That's fine.
Okay. In fact, I don't want my clock to be going on
it's
this.
Not.
I don't want to burn my time on
it's
this because it's procedural. And with regard to procedures, I just want to have an objection on the record that we oppose the fact that there's not a full panel before us hearing this, and also that members of Los Osos, or residents of Los Osos who are members of this board, have been required to recuse themselves. We think that they should be able to hear this matter. So as far as procedurally, from the latest corrected notice, there was testimony of Bruce Payne that was admitted into the record. And I'm sorry, we've got an exhibit that will make it a lot clearer. Mr. Allerby and Mr. Payne produced quite a few documents and asked that they be included in the record, and they aren't included on the latest corrected notice. And we've listed those, and they're reflected on this overhead, and those documents are not listed on the notice, but all of them were admitted into evidence because all objections were withdrawn by Mr. Asado. So we'd just like to make sure those are all in the record.
I didn't see it.
Well, Ms. Sullivan, perhaps you could kind of help us by telling us how these are relevant, these documents are relevant.
They've all been testified to, they've all been addressed, they were all admitted, and they're not reflected on your notice of this hearing as being a document.
Okay, I don't think that that's true, that they've all been admitted, that they've all been addressed.
If you will look at the deposition testimony, I can give you the exact page if you'd like. The testimony of this proceeding on December 15th. There is a withdrawal of any objections to the documents produced and introduced by Mr. Payne and Mr. Allerby. And so all these documents should come in by virtue of the testimony that was before us, and we wish to incorporate by reference these same documents. And so the offer of proof and the testimony has already been presented to this board. These were documents already introduced.
Any comment, Mr. Sato?
You know, I don't recall that we withdrew any objections to any testimony that was submitted by Mr. Allenby or Mr. Payne. I think it would have been appropriate for Ms. Sullivan, that had she had these issues, to have notified us previously, so we should go back and check through the record. I'll just look at my notes again to see if I can recall, but my indication is that, for example, 852, it's irrelevant. Has nothing to do with the issue of whether or not a cease and desist order should be issued in this matter. Number 53, same issue. It may be something that somebody did mention, but I don't recall that they ever referenced any particular item or matter within a Ripley Pacific report. The hearing regulations, the hearing regulations are hearing regulations. I don't know the particular evidence. So it's not really something to be addressed as a matter of evidence or not evidence. I think the telephone notes we specifically objected to because they're hearsay. The person, whoever Mary Ellen is not here to testify about the veracity of any of those types of statements or documents, and they are, in fact, hearsay. And I do specifically recall objecting to those, so I don't know where Ms. Sullivan claims that we've withdrawn these objections. I mean, I think the fact of the matter is that, and I can go through, I'll go through each of them then. We'll object
to... Your Honor. All of these have already had an objection rendered.
Excuse me. Let Mr. Sato finish, and then I'll give you the time that you would like.
Okay. On the 889, I believe that it's something that we did not object to. I think 890... I don't think that that has anything to do with any relevance to the procedures at hand. I don't recall whether we objected to that document previously or not. If the transcript suggests that it was not admitted, then I would go with the transcript. I don't recall it. I don't even recall that this was something that was introduced specifically by Mr. Alibi. So, I think we objected to the lawsuits filed by 929. Sorry, the lawsuits filed by CCLO versus LOCSD. I mean, they were just. I don't know how those can be evidence of anything. They are simply pleadings.
I do remember that discussion. My concern than anything in any other cases were just pleadings and allegations, if they weren't verified pleadings. And so I'm going to turn it back over to you. So can you show us where the board actually decided that they would allow?
Yes. If you look at the transcript on the 15th, which you posted on posted recently, if you look at page 367, this is a conversation with Mr. Payne and the board and about concluding the hearing. And there was a suggestion by Mr. Sato to withdraw the evidence. And Mr. Richards says, I think that in view of the fact that we have allowed the designated parties to rely upon the testimony and documentation provided by other settling parties, that it would not be appropriate to allow the... I'm missing my page here, my line. I'm sorry.
Does normally when a party settles, they have withdrawn...
No, and then we continue with... Mr. Young said, this is why we have lawyers. And the board member press said, I agree. Chairperson Young said, okay. Mr. Richards said... Or Mr. Sato said, okay, I withdraw my objections. We can keep going. Chairman Young said, okay, all right, what is next? And you moved on to the next topic. So when Mr. Sato tried to strike from the record everything that Mr. Payne had put in, all of his documents and everything, and had placed his objections earlier, at the time of the settlement, or at the time he said he would, indicated he would settle, the objections were raised in the board, and Mr. Sato withdrew the objections to all the evidence. So all of that evidence should be coming in. All of Mr. Payne's testimony and all of the documents he referenced, because all of the objections were withdrawn by Mr. Sato.
Okay. Hold on 1 second. Mr. Shallcross.
Yeah. Had Mr. Sato objected to some of these documents prior to that statement?
Oh, yes, and he was trying to have the entire testimony struck, yes.
It was my understanding that he was only withdrawing the objection as to the documents that were already allowed in.
No.
Yeah. Excuse me, but that would be my understanding as well, and if I were to advise the board, that would be my interpretation of the situation. That was my recollection of what was being done at the time.
Right, because Mr.
Mr. Sato was objecting to allowing other parties to rely on the documentation provided by the settling parties. And the board concluded that to the extent that those documents had been admitted already through the discussion of admissibility that had preceded the individual cases, they should continue to be admitted. However, to the extent that the documents had been stricken from the record as inadmissible during the course of the discussion on the admissibility of documents, they would not be reauthorized
right.
to come in.
Yes. Because at that point, the documents that had been ruled against were no longer part of that person's record.
Sure, that would be true. But that's not my point. My point is there was a motion by Mr. Sato where he asked this board to strike this entire testimony and all the documents and all the evidence of Mr. Payne. And he withdrew that objection. Obviously, if there was an objection and it was ruled on, okay, we have that. But these were not included in the record, and they weren't ruled on. And so they need to be included in the record because all objection to them has been withdrawn.
Well, that is not my understanding. Recollection either, because I do specifically remember going over some of these documents and questioning their relevance at all to what issues are before us. I know, and I specifically recall anything related to any other lawsuits That I'm certain of. There was no need to bring in any documents related to another lawsuit, as those were are just allegations contained in a pleading. So as far as, you know, and going over the list right now, they're all in that category of not being relevant to the issues before us. Now, if you want to tell us how they're specifically relevant to your client's interest, I'll listen to it.
Well, the offer of proofs have already been made, and the testimony has already been made prior. And the fact of the matter is, you don't have in the record any denial of any of these documents. You have a withdrawal of any objection that was made to these documents. So anything that hasn't been denied must be admitted.
Well, they were.
And that's not included in your record of this or notice of this hearing.
Then we'll have to go ahead and specifically deny the admission of these documents into the record.
Okay.
May I speak to this? First of all,
yeah.
If you don't mind, Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
I mean, I think that the representation by Ms. Sullivan is actually inaccurate. And also, too, that if this is something that she wanted to raise, she should have done it by motion. And she has not raised this by motion. The time for the hearing has come and gone. If she wanted to raise these kinds of objections, she had no, obviously her client had notice of this hearing, had notice of the documents that were purported to be admitted into evidence. And, you know, I think that this effort by Ms. Sullivan to raise this at the 11th hour is just another example of the kind of thing that goes on in these proceedings where people don't follow the rules, don't raise the issues early on, don't allow us to have a full airing of these issues. And then now, you know, without the opportunity to go back, look at the record, consider the issues, we're left to try to puzzle this out at this moment.
Can we do this, Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
This is a suggestion.
Yes.
During the Wilkerson case, as it's being presented, how about if she wants to refer to one of these documents in her argument, she can ask that it be entered at that point?
I don't really want to do that, sir, because that takes too much time to try to introduce these documents and only have 15 minutes. So what I just want to be able to incorporate what's gone on before and the documents that were identified and addressed and presented by other people are produced timely. And I just want to be able to use, I want to be able to have those in the record. If this board feels that they should now deny all these documents, then let's put it on the record then. I would like to have a record of what happened to these documents. Because Mr. Payne introduced them. Reed Sato originally asked that they all be struck. He then withdrew that objection, and this board moved on.
I know there were actions before that. I know for sure the telephone notes were ruled as hearsay.
Well, Your Honor.
And it makes me wonder on some of the others. I know we discussed them.
Mr. Chairman, I think that the appropriate thing to do is to stick with the incorporation that has been set forth in the notice, because at that time that was based on the decisions that were made by the board in their discussion of the admissibility of all of the documentary evidence that was before the board. It was there was a full discussion of the relevance of the documents, of the objections made by the prosecution team, and so forth. And the board ruled on the admissibility of those documents at that time, and our notice then reflected those rulings. So the interchange between Mr. Sato and Mr. Allerby and Mr. Payne simply allowed the documents that had not been ruled inadmissible
or had not been admitted
previously to remain in the record to be relied upon by subsequent designated parties. And so the notice reflects the admissibility of all the evidence as determined by the board in December.
And I think what Ms. Sullivan is simply looking for is a very clear ruling that we have actually not admitted these documents.
Or denied them.
Yeah. Denied their admission.
And, of course, I would object to that, too, as being untimely, but sure.
Yeah, well, that's kind of a an explanation of what we did before.
Okay.
Was all the documents were discussed, and we went through and decided what would come in. So perhaps we didn't have a specific order that said we're not, that we are denying this set of documents. What we did was the opposite, was to lay out what we were admitting into evidence. So these, and I specifically recall a few of these categories, we had deemed to be not relevant to the issues before us. So if your client is very concerned about some of these documents, then in your presentation, you'll have an opportunity to briefly tell us why they should come in or how they tend to prove or disprove any of the facts or issues in contention.
I can do that right now.
Okay, Mr. Payne, you have settled with the Water Board.
No, I haven't.
Prosecution. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, may
I? Anyway, you're not a designated party for today's proceedings, so.
Mr. Chairman, may
yes.
Let me just say that I think that the board has already ruled on this evidentiary issue. They've stated it very clearly in the notice of continued hearing. I think that the Wilkersons and anybody else have waived a right to challenge the admission of these documents by virtue of the fact of failing to provide any objection prior to this time about these designated exhibits in Exhibit A and Exhibit B. I think it's very clear in the document. It says only the following documents from the designated parties Exhibit B were admitted, and it says that very clearly. So I think that is, in fact, a ruling of the board, and I think we ought to move on.
All right. Okay, Ms. Sullivan.
Okay, the next group of documents that was produced and introduced at the time was an Exhibit B, which was produced timely by the CDO recipients and should be admitted with the exception of those items already denied on the record. When the prosecution made their evidence objections on December 4th, they neglected to object to any part of Exhibit B. And the chairman, when you made your ruling on the 4th, you neglected also to reference Exhibit B. In your December 8 ruling, you sustained the vast majority of the objections, but you did not address the Exhibit B documents. We'd like to make sure that they're all admitted now, and we can make an offer of proof as to those more important documents. But all of these documents were produced timely and were submitted and were never objected to timely, and still are outstanding issues. Some of them I don't have a clue why you would be objecting to including them in the record. I would like to defer to Gail McPherson, who is much more intimately knowledgeable of these particular documents, and she compiled them for your reference, as to making the offer of proof. And we've provided to you a table of what the documents are that are in Exhibit B that we're particularly interested in making sure are part of the record.
Do we have a copy of what you put up on the screen?
Sure. We'll give you a copy.
Do you have it?
I don't have five copies for you.
Do you have one copy?
You know, Mr. Chairman, may I state for the record again our objection to this whole procedure? I mean, you have already, they are apparently referencing Exhibit B. You have already ruled on the admissibility of documents in Exhibit B as set forth in your notice of continued hearing dated December 28th, 2006. I mean,
I don't disagree with you, Mr. Sato. I'm just trying to give them an opportunity to get this out so we can hear what it's about.
So, I mean, but the way that she's framing it is that it's something that you failed to do. You've already done that.
Well,
if her argument is that now, on behalf of the Wilkersons, they would like to submit certain documents for your consideration, that is a different argument than what they have posited before you so far. And that's the basis of my objection.
We are submitting these on behalf of Mr. Wilkerson. And they've been submitted before on behalf of all of the parties.
This was your list, Mrs. Pearson, right?
So would you like us to proceed with an offer of proof?
No, I don't think that'll be necessary. The documents that were admitted were put into the notice. And so not all of Exhibit B came in. Only those documents that are numbered in the list and that appear in our notice. And I can go through this and see, again, we've got cases in here. You don't have to have case law attached as an exhibit.
There is no case law attached as the exhibit, sir.
The only ones we're submitting are these on the screen. That's a total list right there. These are the only ones that we're asking about today.
Okay.
If they weren't admitted at the time, then they haven't been admitted.
They may not have even been requested.
The time for requesting admission of documents was in November.
No, they were requested and they were submitted to you.
Yes, and the determination as to whether or not they were admissible was made in December at the hearing.
No, you've neglected to make the decision because you didn't realize they were there. The
no,
December 8th decision did not address Exhibit B.
There was no decision on December 8th.
There was a ruling of the chairman on December 8th, sustaining all the evidence objections that were made, or the majority of the evidence objections.
And that was further discussed at the hearing on December 14th and 15th. And at that time, the determinations were made regarding the admissibility of documents that had been presented by the Community Services District and by Ms. McPherson and all of the designated parties. And those determinations are incorporated into the current notice.
Are you taking the position that Mr. Wilkerson cannot present any documents or any evidence other than the documents already introduced?
The time for presentation of evidence has passed, for documentary evidence has passed.
But these were produced and already in as documentary evidence on November 15th.
And their admissibility was ruled on.
No, you left it up to admissibility being ruled on as each person burns up their 15 minutes.
Well, then we should start the clock.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, we don't mind if as I said before, if their argument is that they want to introduce these documents as part of Mr. Wilkinson's testimony, if they want to try to do that, that's fine, but it's part of their testimony, and we still reserve the right to object to the relevancy of any of these documents and any other evidentiary objections.
Right. What we would like to make really clear is if you're going to deny these, would you please deny them so that we have that on the record that you've denied allowing the transcripts of the hearing in and these various items that we have?
This is the ex parte transcript of the Superior Court case?
No. I'm not talking about 868.
Well, that's 866.
What? Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about then? Could you make that clear?
As I said, I will defer to Gail on that one.
885 is the hearing transcript for what date?
You know, and Mr. Chairman, let me object again to this procedure.
Wait,
that
can,
is.
Can I just get well, on? Go ahead. Hold on. That thought.
It's 866.
Okay, 885. If we can jump to 885.
What transcript? What date?
The hearing transcripts from April. The April proceedings before you, the transcripts of those. And since you had made a ruling subsequent to that time that the evidence produced by the CDO recipients and designated parties would be allowed and considered, although somehow you would erase from your mind anything that was said by the prosecution team.
Mr. Chair, I think we should, you know, deem the ones that were posted as the items that were admissible. Certainly, Ms. Sullivan can bring this up on appeal.
I can if you deny them. Are you going to deny all these?
No, we're going to first let you, through your presentation, tell us which of these are relevant to what specific issues on behalf of your client.
Mr. Chairman, I would point out that simply with respect to item 885, if that is, in fact, the transcript of the regional board proceedings in April on the individual cease and desist orders for Los Osos property owners and residents, that the transcript, in other words, the initiation of the proceeding that is continuing today, the transcript of that proceeding is part of the record. If this is some other transcript of some other proceeding, then it is not part of the record, unless the individual seeking to have it introduced into the record can demonstrate that it's relevant to one of the issues in the proceeding.
Okay, well, obviously, since we're incorporating by reference all that's gone on before, it certainly is relevant to my client's position in the CDO.
Excuse me, but you can't just incorporate everything that's gone on before. The proceedings of the regional board with respect to the issuance of individual cease and desist orders to property owners and residents of the Los Osos Prohibition Zone, those proceedings, the record of those proceedings includes the transcript of all the proceedings before the board. It includes the documentation that has been prepared by the prosecution team and their staff reports and their technical evidence. It includes the documentation that has been presented by the various designated parties to the extent that it has been deemed admissible by the board. And that will be the record.
Mr. Chairman, just one point too, is that this process now that we're engaged in with Ms. McPherson and Ms. Sullivan trying to talk about things that happened in the record prior, if they want to make a motion for reconsideration, that would be the time to do this. And I don't know what Ms. McPherson's role is right now, because this is the time and the place for a hearing. We're in the middle of a hearing on Mr. Wilkerson, on the Wilkersons. I don't hear that the Wilkersons are being represented by anybody but Ms. Sullivan, although she hasn't introduced herself formally as their counsel. We ought to just move. I don't know what Ms. McPherson is doing now in terms of trying to resurrect some issues related to the prior proceedings that have gone on here, and I think it's highly improper for her to do this at this point in time.
Okay.
Then I'll remind the board why I'm asking that we have a record before us. All designated parties who have appeared and have been directed in various orders to incorporate by reference other people's testimony and documents. We want to incorporate all the documents, all the testimony. We obviously don't have time in 15 minutes to identify each and every document and each and every bit of testimony that we wish to rely. But we do want to have that record before the court when it comes to the time to appeal, so that the court can see what evidence you were relying on when you make your rulings. So we want to make sure the record's very clear what we want in the record and what you're refusing to put in the record.
Well, I think you raise a very good point, okay. And that is, what documents is the board going to rely upon when they make their ruling? There are lots of documents that have been kind of identified, and the designated parties, I mean, the homeowners, have not really pointed out how they're important to them in their own cases. And therefore, these are documents that, although that they're in, the board really didn't rely upon them at all in making their determination. With respect to these documents up here in Exhibit B, the way I want to handle this is they were not admitted prior to today. I'll give you the opportunity during your case, if you feel that there are some of these of specific relevance that should qualify them to come in, we'll consider it at that point. But I am going to go with the hearing notice and the documents that we have listed there as being the documents that are in evidence at this point in time. And it would have been helpful if prior to today that you had spoken to Mr. Sato about this, or exchanged a list of these documents, I mean, or exchanged this particular list, so you could have worked that out with him instead of having this, you know, done at this point in time. It makes it difficult.
Yes.
So.
I haven't found my conversations with Mr. Sato to be very productive, to tell you the truth. So, continuing on, there were some PowerPoint presentations that were made. We want to make sure the record includes all the written PowerPoint presentations, in the record, and we can submit a copy of those from the prior testimony, the documents that are flashed on the wall that are testified to.
I think, Ms. McPherson, you can sit down.
Yeah. And those were in which specific?
Every single one has had a PowerPoint and this presentation. I can give you a copy of all of those. But they were all before you during the testimony. I just don't know if they're in the record. I want to make sure they're in the record.
Move to object. The reason why I object is because these were not, to the extent that they were not submitted to the court reporter or before this board at the time that they were presented, then they were simply a mechanism by which these people expressed themselves, but they were not submitted into the record. And I don't think you can do that after the proceeding is over.
Their testimony would come in, obviously.
But if they're looking at on the wall and they're pointing out
they
items on a map and they're talking about it, it would be better to have that in the record so you know what they're talking about.
I understand that, but they also testified to what was on the screen. Did they submit those PowerPoint presentations to the court reporter?
I'm told that they did. Not to the court reporter.
You can submit those when your time comes.
Okay, I will submit them again.
Okay.
How about that?
Okay.
So in incorporating by reference everything, I'd also like to incorporate by reference.
Excuse me. Wait, just a minute. The time to submit written documentation was in November.
Right, I know. But your order says to incorporate by reference documents for the presentation of Mr. Wilkerson, and that's what I'm doing. I just want to make sure that all the records are there for us to incorporate by reference.
Submitted prior to this time, after this time.
They were submitted. Everything I'm talking about has been submitted already.
Well, then you don't have to do that. It's already part of the record. You don't have to do that.
The documentary record has been established.
Okay, but what's been considered by this board and what's been admitted for consideration by this board?
Yes, it's been the documents have either been admitted or not admitted, and you have an opportunity during your representation of the Wilkersons here today to argue that certain specific documents that have not yet been admitted or have been denied admission to this point can be admitted. You can make that offer of proof at that time in the course of your presentation to the extent that documents that have not been admitted are relevant to your case.
John, I think what Ms. Sullivan is referring to are the PowerPoint presentations.
Well,
and those those were not submitted by the documentary deadline. I never saw PowerPoint presentations in any individual party's comments. So
to the extent that they're preserved in the court reporter's transcript,
That's the record, yeah. That's right.
Moving on,
okay.
There was a writ of mandate action that was filed on behalf of some of the designated parties.
Right.
And I would like to request that be included in the record, too. Those are verified pleadings. They're on point. They address the issues that are before this court, this party. And when the court made its ruling the court actually said, we presume the board's going to consider the objections you're making in this writ action. And I want to make sure that you have considered the issues that were brought up in the writ action and that this board does, in fact, consider and address the issues with the lack of due process, the Sixth Amendment constitutional impairment by not having Mr. Briggs here, all of the various issues that were brought up. Has this board considered any of those issues as the court presumed that you would before proceeding?
I think we've only looked at the issues that were presented to us in the hearing.
Yeah, I mean,
the
judge didn't.
We haven't looked at other court rulings.
So will you accept it into evidence, the whole petition for writ of mandamus and all the pleadings?
No.
No.
Okay, so you're denying that consideration.
Yes.
No, excuse me. We are denying. The board should not accept into evidence and cannot accept into evidence pleadings in an extraneous case. These are pleadings in a case outside of the jurisdiction of this board. And those pleadings are not appropriate evidence before the board. Pleadings are not evidence.
So you will not consider anything that was brought up before the court?
The board will not accept documentation as documentary evidence in this proceeding the pleadings that were presented to some other to some other forum.
I'd also like to move into the record the entire appeal to the State Water Resource Control Board that we filed on behalf of CDO recipients that was filed on January 16, 2007, enumerating not less than 94 reasons why the appeal should go forward and why this CDO should be vacated. And I'd like to move that into evidence.
Denied.
Okay. And we'd like to also move into the record and incorporate by reference the arguments of Willett Citizens for Environmental Justice and California Citizens for Environmental Justice, which was filed by appeal to the State Water Resource Control Board on January 16, 2007, in opposition to your rulings. Will you consider those?
You're asking us to, these are pleadings in other cases?
No, that's an appeal in this case of that hearing on December 14th and 15th.
And why
in any event, pleadings are not evidence, and therefore these documents will not be accepted into evidence by this board.
It's not a pleading. It's an appeal.
It is a pleading. It is a petition. It is a petition requesting the state board to review an action or inaction of the regional board. And in that context, it is in the nature of a pleading.
Ms. Sullivan, isn't that a pleading? Isn't an appeal?
Well, I just don't see it as a judicial action. It's administrative proceeding. Yes. Yeah.
What do you consider it? Evidence?
What do I consider evidence?
Do you consider that document evidence?
Yes.
An appeal?
Yes.
As evidence? Okay. Well, you went to a different law school than I did.
Okay. I'm asking that it be considered in the record.
Right.
That was what I just asked. And I guess you're denying that, too.
Yeah, we're denying that,
okay.
too. Right.
All right. Then, I guess I'll start with my cross-examination.
Okay.
And just so it's clear for the record, prosecution team objects to all of these documents that are listed right now on this presentation. We are still not been provided a copy with this. So we object to 866, 871, 883, 885, 887, 901, 906, 912, 919, 927, 940, 941, 942. I don't know if there's 946. Anything else? Was there anything else on this in this PowerPoint presentation or the slide? No. Okay. Those are our objections. We move to strike all of those.
Okay. We'll wait and see. All right. All right, Ms. Sullivan, you can cross-examine the prosecution team. The clock doesn't run while you're doing this.
All right.
Your clock doesn't run while you're doing this.
It
doesn't
actually run or does?
Mr.
Okay.
Mr. Young, the hearing notice specifies 10 minutes for this.
Okay.
Okay.
What
Mr.
I meant
Thompson.
Was it doesn't come off for 15 minutes.
Right. Mr. Thompson, of the 45 randomly selected CDO recipients, were any of their homes built after 1983?
I don't know.
Did you consider that relevant at all as to when the house was constructed?
Objection, vague and ambiguous.
Can you answer?
No.
Okay. Are the county permitted septic tanks in Los Osos illegal?
We can't hear you. Yeah. Well, we're sharing a mic.
He's objecting based on it being vague and ambiguous. Can you answer the question, Mr. Thompson?
The basin plan says that any septic system discharge within the prohibition zone boundary is prohibited.
So did they become illegal in 1983?
Objection, argumentative, calls for a legal conclusion. I mean, these are not evidentiary questions.
Mr. Chairman, these are not evidentiary questions. These are argumentative questions being raised by counsel. And I think that if she wants to...
Folks, please. Please, I need to
listen to the lawyers.
They're not
evidentiary. If you listen to these questions carefully, they're not evidentiary. They're argumentative.
Well, they're asking for his legal opinion.
Right.
Yeah, Mr. Thompson.
And the purpose of cross-examination is to test the factual credibility of the witness, and it is not to advocate the party's position. So that the questions should be directed to the factual basis for the evidence that the prosecution team is presenting.
Okay. Do you have any evidence that Mr. Wilkerson's septic tank was not permitted?
Not permitted by who?
The county.
No.
Do you have any evidence to support any claim that his septic tank is illegal?
To support whose claim?
Mr. Wilkerson's.
Could you restate your question?
Do you have any evidence that shows that Mr. Wilkerson's septic tank is illegal?
You know, and I'm not, I can just say that, you know, our testimony has been that Mr. Wilkerson's use of his septic system violates the discharge prohibition.
So is his septic tank illegal?
I think that calls for a legal conclusion. We have stated the basis for our contention.
Do you contend that it is illegal?
We contend that it violates the basin plan discharge prohibition.
Are septic tanks a legal means of handling waste disposal in California?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any scientific evidence to support any claim that the Wilkerson septic system is not properly functioning?
Objection, vague and ambiguous as the term properly functioning. Maybe she could just tell us what she is trying to get at with this question.
Go ahead, Ms. Sullivan.
Do you think Mr. Wilkerson's septic tank is working?
Same objection.
It's working in that it's discharging to groundwater.
What proof do you have that it's discharging to groundwater?
A septic system is designed to overflow into a disposal area, which then percolates into the soil and down to groundwater.
And do you have any evidence that that's happened on the Wilkerson site?
Based on my best professional judgment and common sense, it's reasonable to assume that the septic tank effluent is soaking into the soil and making its way down to groundwater.
And what is your professional background for that decision?
Objection. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to object to these proceedings for right now. I mean, if we would respect the request and the respect of the audience in this matter, it's difficult for our court reporter to get an accurate transcript if other people are talking. I think it would be fair for the prosecutor's team if the audience would resist making any comments as much as they would like to, and let Mr. Thompson simply testify and answer the questions as best he can. Thank you.
I would appreciate if the audience would please refrain from making any audible sounds. It's difficult for us to hear what the attorneys are saying and witnesses are saying. Please just keep your comments to yourselves. I don't want to have to get into a mode that I've got to start asking people to step outside. I'd rather not have to get into that. So please, contain yourselves.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, can I ask you... Sorry.
Hold on one second. Mr. Shawcross?
Yeah, I don't know if this helps this line of questioning at all. I'm not really sure the relevance, but in Mr. Wilkerson's letter, dated November 14th, he states, our property has a functioning septic system that was approved and permitted by the county. So, as Mr. Thompson said, a functioning system flows is meant to flow over. We all know how septic tanks work. So I don't know if that helps you.
Chairman, I would like to know if the time that's lapsed since the objection was made and the discussions, if that's coming off my 10 minutes.
No.
Okay, great.
No.
So the question that was on the table was, what is your professional background, Mr. Thompson, that you can render these decisions on the Wilkerson septic tank?
Objection asked and answered already.
I'm going to let him answer the question.
Yeah, I have a bachelor's degree in environmental engineering from Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, specializing in water pollution control. I am a registered professional civil engineer, and I have been doing this stuff intensively for the last 5.5 years.
And do you have any evidence that you have compiled by site investigation or actual testing done on the Wilkerson property to support any claim that liquid waste discharges from the Wilkerson home to the groundwater?
Yes. The Los Osos Community Services District has a monitoring well network that is representative of shallow groundwater throughout the Prohibition Zone, and groundwater exceeds the drinking water standard throughout the Prohibition Zone, including immediately beneath the Wilkerson's property.
How big of a distance is it between the septic tank on the Wilkerson property and the aquifer?
It's probably on the order of several dozen feet.
Okay. Could you put that map up, please? I'll jump to another question in the meantime. So how much water do you think, or how much is being discharged from the Wilkerson septic tank to the groundwater?
Excuse me, what was your objection?
How much is water?
We don't have, you know, flow measurement on their individual septic system, but it's probably around 100 to 200 gallons per day.
And what's the quality of that guesstimate?
Well, typical septic tank effluent is full of pathogens and nitrate, probably about 50 milligrams per liter nitrate as nitrogen, based on samples of septic tank effluent throughout the region. It's pretty typical.
But what about this septic tank? You've done no investigation, right?
No, ma'am.
Do you even know how many people use this septic tank that's on the Wilkerson property?
Well, based on the written materials, it's at least two.
Okay. Under Water Code Section 13243, there's the right to refuse the discharge of waste. How do you define waste?
Correction, false would be the conclusion.
Are you asking him what his definition of waste is?
Yes,
or
I am.
In the Water Code?
Objection, relevance.
I'm asking how he defines waste.
I define waste as it is defined in the California Water Code.
And how is that?
Well, I'd like to have it in front of me, but, you know, it's anything you're discharging.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead, put it up in front of you, and this comes off your time.
So is it anything that gets discharged, even if it's clean water, that's waste?
Objection calls for a legal conclusion. I'm not going to tell Ms. Sullivan how she could conduct a cross-examination, but I don't know why she's asking Mr. Thompson these particular questions.
Okay. If you look at the CDO, it states that no discharges can be made from the septic tank, or no discharges by Mr. Wilkerson. Are you regulating discharges, or are you regulating waste?
Thank you.
we're regulating discharges of waste.
Okay, and if it's not waste, then what basis do you have to regulate it?
Can I answer that?
No, I would like to have the testimony by the witness who is put on the prosecution case, please.
Well, it could be anybody from the prosecution team who, and it's their evidence and testimony is really, they are one designated party. So if either one of them feels that they're more competent to reply to that, that's really fine as far as we're concerned. Just like if you have a witness who you feel is more competent to answer a question on cross would be fine also. Mr. Packard?
Yeah, what the CDO requires, or what the basin plan prohibition talks about, is a discharge prohibition. It doesn't even have the word waste in it, according to the part that's cited in the order. So that's what's prohibited, is the discharge.
So it's prohibited to send clean water out into your septic?
Argumentative. Calls for a legal conclusion.
It is argumentative.
Is that true, that your interpretation of discharge means that it prohibits a discharge, whether it consists of a discharge of waste or not?
That's my understanding of the prohibition, yes.
So what is discharge under your definition under the CDO of cessation of all discharge?
That would be that the system is no longer hooked up to the waste system of the house.
Isn't it true that any community-wide disposal system would be built to discharge clean water to recharge the water basin?
Actually, we don't have a design in front of us for a community wastewater system.
But isn't that your goal, to have a recharge of the basin?
It could be a goal. It's not necessarily the primary goal.
Isn't one of the water quality objectives include, doesn't it include recycling of water as a primary objective of your board or of the regional board?
It is board policy to promote recycling wastewater, yes.
Okay. So if a community-wide system goes in that recycles water and recharges the basin, won't that be a discharge that violates your order of cease and all discharges?
If we were to have a system in front of us that we felt would be the system that is going to improve water quality, we'll ask the board to grant them an exception.
So you will look at water quality when determining whether it's a discharge or not?
From the community system, yes.
Doesn't 8313 prohibit any community or individual discharge? Okay, so but a community system would be okay to discharge, but an individual one will not? Is that what you're saying?
If the board issues a permit for that community system, we would ask the board also to grant them an exemption to the basin plan prohibition.
And Ms. Sullivan, your time is up on cross-examination.
Okay.
But you can proceed into your case. You have 15 minutes.
Okay. I will make an offer.
Mr. Ricano, would you please put that placard? Actually, please take it out of here. Please take it out.
Yes, Mr. Young. How are you? Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Marble-based nitrates are four times higher than Los Osos. You guys know that?
Yeah.
This is a joke. Yeah. It's time for a regional plan. You're a regional board.
Okay. Ms. Sullivan, your time is starting now.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Mr. Wilkerson is with me. I would like to make an offer of proof to expedite the process here. I will make an offer of proof that Mr. Wilkerson and his wife, Norma Wilkerson, would testify to their home being built in the 1970s before 8313 was adopted, that they would immediately hook up to a community wastewater system if one was available. They have prepaid the full bond assessment of $3,299 as of 2001. We have a receipt that's available. They had their septic tank last pumped in November of 2006, and the proof of that has been submitted to the board. It's in good working condition. They're willing to continue pumping every 3 years and make any necessary repairs. They're willing to vote yes on a Prop 218 vote and will give the board an irrevocable proxy to vote for them. They will state that this whole process has been extremely costly, not just monetarily, but the human toll it has taken on the elderly and everyone in this community. They have spent the money on paying the bond. They have pumped. There is no basis whatsoever for this board to make any ruling that they have not expended any funds in trying to meet the and comply with the regional board. They have been singularly prosecuted and told if a system beyond their control is not financed against their home and completed by 1-1-11, they will have to vacate their homes. They have no means of meeting the mandate to cease discharges from their home unless they move out or the regional board lets an on-site individual system be built. The actions of the board have caused tremendous stress, aggravation, and harassment to the Wilkersons, and the Wilkersons have no internet, another issue that we had asked to be included on our offer proof. The Wilkersons do not have internet access, have never agreed to accept service by the net, by a web posting, or by fax. No one is authorized to accept service on their behalf. There has been no site-specific testing by the regional board at or near their property and no evidence that they've caused any pollution or waste. The board is presuming that they are adding contaminants, but there's no evidence that's been presented to show that. We can offer proof that when the Wilkersons moved here after purchasing the property in 1986, they contacted the county to make inquiry as to the prohibition zone. They were told it was a moratorium that pertained to additional new homes, not existing homes. The Wilkersons have not been properly served with any documents as required by law. The board is aware they require service in writing. To date, they have received from the Regional Water Quality Control Board